Bibles to Psalm 90 this morning.
Psalm 90.
It's the Psalm of Moses. So it'd be the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. Moses wrote this psalm about the time they were the end of the wilderness experience when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness. Moses wrote this psalm. And so we can sort of pick that up as we go through it, what he was talking about in his psalm. That was about a 40-year experience, but they were wandering in the wilderness. And so he wrote this. And so we want to think about that as we read this psalm. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if a reason of strength there be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. It's interesting that Moses calls God our dwelling place. That dwelling place there could mean refuge or security. God is our safety, our safe place to be. God, you're our dwelling place. You have been our dwelling place. So God, think about that. He said, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, how many generations can you remember back? And this goes back. I believe Moses was thinking, remember when he was at the burning bush, he saw that bush burning, and the voice came out of the bush, Moses, take your shoes off your feet because the place you're standing is holy ground. And then he said to him, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and father Jacob. Moses, I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of all these generations from back then up till now. And I had to think about that. Generations. Generations here at Rollinsville. Can you think back a little bit? This year will be 95 years that the work began at Rollinsville. In May the 1st will be 95 years. They had the first service. There's a little stone building over there across the way. It's no longer there. But it was an afternoon service. They had afternoons up until August. Then they switched to morning service. But May 1st, they had the first service there. And that's back generations. H. Elvin Herr would have been coming here. That was before Elvin was ordained deacon. He was ordained deacon in 1938. So before he was ordained deacon, Elvin was coming down here. He gives a story about when he and his father were out in the field putting hay on the wagon. And his father said to him, his father was a deacon at New Danville. He said to him, they're having a service down at Rollinsville, the stone building down there. They started a work down there. Do you want to go along down with me? And so Elvin came along down with his father. And that's what got Elvin started coming to Rollinsville. And he was here ever since until he had to move away to his daughter's place then. But Elvin spent his life here at Rollinsville. So it's that generations. That's back, isn't it? That's way back there. Who can think 95 years back? Well, none of us in here can. But I'm thinking about that. Harold Hess used to tell me about, he remembers that when they had service over there, he was a boy with his father, Henry, when they came to open the church to see if they could have services in it or not. He said there was a back door at the other end of the building there. It was up off the ground, probably 6 feet or so, because the building was on a slope, the ground slope, and the door at the back was about 6 feet. You open the door, it just dropped. But Harold said, I was standing there looking out through that door when they were talking about having church here in this building. So he said, that was Harold. Harold's no longer with us. So I was thinking, there was Elvin. And then when Elvin was ordained deacon in 1938, my father was coming along with his father down to the services here. They had him in the afternoon. And he was coming along with him down to the services. My grandfather, Abram Hess, was teaching Sunday school over here at that time. And that's interesting to know about that. Because when my father was born, my grandfather was not a Christian man. He wanted his family to go to the Mennonite church. And so my grandmother joined the Mennonite church at Barrowland. But he was not 10. Not until that little girl of his, which was, I forget what I said now. How old was she, Grace? Remember? 18 months. That's what it was. She was 18 months old. And she used to run out across the porch to meet him when he'd come into the house. And she fell off the edge of the porch and down onto the concrete, down to bottom, the place where Grace lives yet, and had a concussion, and she died from that. He was sitting in his rocking chair in the corner of the dining room there, and he saw his little girl over in the other corner of the room motioning for him to come. And that's all it took for that man. That man gave his heart to the Lord, and he was a devout Christian from that time on. And so that's some of our generation stories back. Elvin here, I remember Elvin here many, many times. And he would get up here and he would always start with the song. Oh, I can't say it now. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou spirit divine, all my nature refined till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Elvin would get up here and sing that song for devotions. Into the love of Jesus was another one. That was another one. Into the love of Jesus. And also the last verse of years I spent in Calvary and years I spent in vanity and pride. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Some of those courses sort of stick with you, you know, if you sing them like that. But Elvin was one, he'd always started out like that with his devotional. He had devotions. He had a deacon here. John Miller was ordained in 1946 to be the minister here. So some of those things, my father was ordained then in 55 to be minister. But those generations, I was thinking about generations. You know, I can remember quite a few generations in my lifetime. I can remember my great-grandmother sitting in the corner of the room. I remember not too much about her. Then my grandfather, I never met him. This Abram Hess I mentioned. He died when he was 48 years old. He had a bad leg. He said, I'll go to the grave with my leg. Something happened to his leg. He was thrown or something in the barn. Something happened to his leg. And I think he had gangrene in his leg. I'm not 100% sure of that. But he had a bad leg, and he said, I'll go to the grave with my leg, and I'll take my leg off. But see, that was back 1935 or something like that. So back then, they frowned about taking your leg off like that, you know. But he said, I'll go to the grave with my leg on. So he died. My grandmother lived with us then when I was a boy, and we grew up in the same house with Grace there, where Grace was, our family and her family was together there. And thinking about all these things back, generations, Moses says, God, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. And I'm thankful for generations that before me that walked with the Lord. That's what I'm thankful for this morning. That told us the way and led us the right direction. Think where you'd be if you wouldn't have had that in your background. If you wouldn't have had those teachings in your background. Generations that has led us. He said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And then he goes on, he said, even before the mountains were formed. And the earth and the world. How far is God back? He said, God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. God had no beginning. God has no end. He said, you are from everlasting to everlasting. That's our God. We have the same God today. He's from everlasting to everlasting. That's our God. And so he talks about our God is eternal in the first two verses here. And then if we go to the next section, verses 3-6 here, the brevity of man's of life. Think of that. Think of this now. Verses 3. He said, you turn man to destruction. And said, return, you children of man, return. What did God tell Adam he would go back to? If he said, when he's back there in Genesis 3, he told him, you were made from dust, and to dust you shall return. So I think that's what Moses is thinking about here. God, you say, you turn man to destruction and say, return, you children of men. You're going to go back to dust sometime. Genesis 3:19. And then he goes on in verse 4. He talks about 1,000 years. 1,000 years would take us back to 1,024, right? What happened in 1,024? I didn't look it up. I should have looked that up. That'd been 1,000 years ago. He said, God, 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday. What's past? You had mine, something in mind, Ken? Huh? I don't know. It could be. I don't know. I don't know those dates, but yeah, there's something 1,000 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? Is 95 years a long time? For us, it is. Yeah, it is. You think about it. That's more than any of our lifetime here. But he said, 1,000 years in your sight, but is yesterday when it's past. Or as a watch in the night. A watch in the night is 6 hours. 1,000 years compared to 6 hours for man. Think of that. 1,000 years in God's sight. So if 1,000 years is as a watch in the night, how long is it since Jesus walked on this earth? 2,024 years? Birth of Christ, before Christ, 2024 BC? Okay. So that's only two years for God. For us, it's a long time. Okay? So God is our God in all generations. He's eternal. There's no beginning to God. There's no ending to God. He's everlasting, our God. 1,000 years. And then verse 5, he says, you carry him away as with a flood. We've seen flooding waters already, haven't we? When something gets in the way, it takes it right along with it. We've had floods across the United States this year. Down south, there was floods. And just carries things away, and people drowned in floods, and cars get swept off of the road, and say, well, how can water do that? But enough water can. And he said, here, God, you carry us away just like a flood, as if it would be a flood. Just like someone is sleeping. In the morning, they're like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and withers. Now, we don't see grass out here now. But in the spring of the year, when the rains come, what's going to happen? The grass is going to grow, isn't it? The grass will grow up. What happens grass when you cut it off? He said it withers. It dies. What happens? Now we make hay out of grass that way, don't we? But it's dead hay. It's dead grass. It's what it is. And he says, that's our life. We're just like the grass when it grows up. We spring up like the grass, but our lifetime, we wither. We're cut down. We wither. We die. And if anyone knew what death was, Moses did. You think about all those people that died in that wilderness as Moses was leading them. How many people, how many graves you think were dug in the wilderness those 40 years? There were 600, I have it here someplace. There were 636,000 people. So 36,550 men of war able to go to war from 20 years and older at the time of the counting when they left Egypt and come out. It was that many people, that many men of war. So if they each had a wife, think how many people it was. There would have been millions of graves while Moses was leading those people out of Israel, out of through the wilderness. Think he knew what death was about? He did. He knew what death was about. And he said, God, it's just like you cut the grass down. The morning it grows up and flourishes, the evening it's withered and cut down. And he says, we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath, are we troubled? He said, God, we just float away. And James says we're like a vapor. Back in the book of James, our life is like a vapor. And I often think of that when I used to have tea kettles setting on these old wood stoves, you know, old ranges in the kitchen, and had a tea kettle setting there with a spout on, and you see that steam coming up out of there, just a cloud above that as it going up. That's a vapor. And he said, that's what our life is. It's just a vapor. It doesn't last long. We die and we go back to dust. So all these people I'd mentioned, all these generations before us, Elvin Hur, my father, Harold Hess, John Miller down in Virginia, he died, Luke Ball, all the generations before us, they're gone. Think of that. And when you get to our age and your parents are all gone and your next one's in line to go, you think about it. I'm next. It might be my turn next. I don't know who'll be next. But we're next in line according to generations. And so we don't have long here, like the grass that grows up. So he says, that's the brevity of men's life. We don't know how long we'll be here. So we could go. There's only two men that went in to search out the land, that lived to enter the land. Who were they? Do you remember? Joshua was one. Who was the other? Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that would have been over, what, 60 years old when he went in? Because if it was a 20 years old and up and died, then 40 years in the wilderness, they wouldn't have been any more than 60 years old, the group that went in, the land. Caleb was 81. No, he was 85. Because he said to Joshua, "I'm 85 years old. I'm just as old as, just as well able to conquer this mountain as I was when I entered the land to look at it. Give me this mountain." That's what Caleb, 85 years old. No, I'm not ready to tackle a mountain, and I'm not 85. But it must have been stronger back then. You think they were? I don't know. But that's the way it is. Yeah. Time brings changes. It does. And I was thinking about these generations. Generations come and go. Brevity of man's life. And then look at verses 7 to 10. He talks about the condemnation of the men in the wilderness during that wilderness time. Look what he says in verse 7. He said, "We are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath. We are troubled," or "we're terrified by it, Lord." We're just terrified by your wrath. And then verses 8, he said, "There's nothing hidden from our God." You set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. You know, there's nothing we can do in secret that God doesn't know. That's what he says here. God knows all our secret sins as well as anything else. He knows what they are. So we can't hide from God. We can't hide from him. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 9. All our days are passed away in our wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. It's something, it's like a vapor that vanishes away. Swept away. Nothing. 1 year. Our years are but a vapor, he said. A tale that's been already told. So it's past. It's gone. And then he says, our lifespan. Look at our life, man's lifespan back there and down there in verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And by reason of strength, it'd be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We didn't get our paper yesterday, so I didn't look at it at the picture age to see what agency were, but I like to look at that sometimes. And the amount of people that's younger than me that die in the butcher age is amazing. He says here, man's lifespan is 70 to 80 years. Now, that was back, Moses said that back then. Now, did that change during a wilderness experience? I don't know. Because Moses was 120 when he died. Aaron was 123 when he died. Joshua was 110 when he died. Some of those men back there, so they were over 100. But you know, you look in the paper and you see them over 100 every now and then, don't you? People are making it over 100 now. My brother-in-law, Mel Thomas, he's married. His daddy-in-law is Clarence Martin. He lives at Landis Homes. He's 104. But he wishes he wasn't here anymore. But he's still pretty good. 104. Takes these hikes. Around his land, his home there, walks around. And so, 70 to 80 years. There's some of us in that here, aren't we? Some of us a little bit over 80, but we're still in that age frame there. 70 to 80 years. And he says, even if it's 80 years, your strength is labor and sorrow. We're soon cut off and we fly away. You know, when a person dies, they're gone from the earth. Now, we believe that we're going to be with the Lord. If the Lord is our Savior, we're going to be with him. But as far as this earthly life, when a person closes their eyes and stops breathing, that's it. I never saw a person set up in a casket yet. Now, Jesus brought one back to life, didn't he? That young man they were carrying out, and he brought Lazarus back to life. That's John chapter 11. And so, when a person dies, we close our eyes. This earthly life, that is it. That's why all these stones are back here. And then verses 11. Yeah, verses 11 through 17, the rest of the chapter, rest of this psalm here. He said, O Lord, we want you to continue to be our dwelling place. Look what he says here, verse 11. God, who knows the power of your anger? Was God angry with the people when they didn't enter the land? He was. He told Moses, let me alone and I'll just wipe them all off and I'll build a generation out of your family. I'll bring people back out of your family. And Moses pled with God, don't do that. You know your name. People will say you weren't able to take them in. That's why you destroyed them here in the wilderness. Don't do that, God. And God relented of that and listened to Moses. But think of God's anger here. Who knows the power of your anger? According to thy fears, so is your wrath, God. Who knows the power of God's anger? So what's he saying, verse 12? So Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So I don't think he's saying, teach me how long my lifespan's going to be. I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, teach me to be wise so that I know how to handle life, how to live it for you. I have another version here. Today's English version says, teach us how short our life is so that we may become wise. We want to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We want to become wise. So teach us, Lord, what we need to know so we can be your people, so we can be wise. Teach us how short our life really is. Teach us to have a heart of wisdom. So I think there's two things there he's asking God to do. And then verse 13, return. Up in verse 3, God said to mankind, return to the earth, return to the dust. Down here in verse 13, Moses is saying to God, oh Lord, return. How long are you going to do this? How long are we going to wander in this wilderness? Return. Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Have mercy on us, God. Return. Come back to us. It's a plea for God to return to us and do us good and have compassion on us. Return. Look at verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. God, have mercy. Moses is saying, God, have mercy on your people. Don't hold them for the evil that they've done. Have mercy. This is a new group of people that's going to go into the land now. Have mercy on us, God, and lead us into the land. Make us glad, he said, according to the good years, according to the evil days that you've given us. Give us good years for that, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein we have been afflicted and the years when we have seen evil. So God, we've spent 40 years in these wilderness now. We've been following you. And think of what that was like. They had that cloud that led them during the daytime as they traveled through that wilderness, the pillar of fire by night as they traveled. 40 years in that wilderness like that. Now he said, make us glad according to those days, those years wherein we were afflicted. Make us glad, God. Have mercy on us. And now he says in verse 16 and 17, I like to put them together. Look what he says. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We are still here 95 years after the work was started at Rollinsville. And it's our prayer this morning that God would establish his work here, that it would keep it going. It has lasted for 95 years. We don't want to stop now, do we? We want to be here till Jesus returns. I don't know if I will be. I don't know who of us will be here when Christ returns, but he could return today yet, you know. So we want the work to be established at Rollinsville until Christ returns. That's how long. So let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. The glory of God was in that cloud. That was the glory of God there. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands. Establish your work, O Lord. That our work would have eternal value is what I'm thinking about. We want the work that is established here to have eternal value, souls saved, brought into the church. I have a note here from me that Henry Hess wrote. Used to be called, what was that paper called in the early days? Missionary Messenger. Okay. Missionary Messenger, years back. But Henry wrote an article about the work in Rollinsville here in 1951. And I'd like to just highlight a few things here. He talks about the first meeting was May 5 in the afternoon with John W. Weaver. I said May 1, it's May 5. John W. Weaver in charge of that. And then that work continued in the afternoons until then. But he mentions one place here. Listen to this. He said that Easter Sunday is when they started having the mornings. But he said during the first 7 years, 210 different pupils attended the service. That's Sunday school pupils. Students, Sunday school pupils. They called them pupils back then. Attended the service here. 210. But this is what got me here. In the same number of years, there were 69 confessions. People that came to the Lord. 69. God was at work back then, wasn't he? He was. 69. I thought, wow, that's amazing. They had prayer meeting every Wednesday night. They went out into homes in the community to have prayer meeting. People got saved in prayer meeting. I remember Jesse Flowers. Jesse was hung up on his cigarettes and his alcohol. And he was an alcoholic all the way. But a prayer meeting at his home one evening. He lived in the bottom of the tobacco cellar. Back here, the barn, the top had burnt off of it. They put a roof over it. He lived in that tobacco cellar with his family. We had prayer meeting there. And Jesse gave his heart to the Lord that night. He had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket, and he got them out, threw them in the fire. And he never drank a drop after that time. That's what God does to people. He changed that man. I remember Jesse, when he moved down to Schuyler, Virginia, after John Miller's had moved down there, Jesse went down. That's where he had grown up. And you'd go to visit him. He'd be sitting there in his house, sitting in a chair with his Bible on his lap. You'd always see him with his Bible in his lap. That's the way Jesse was. The Lord changed that man. The Lord changed a lot of people here at Rollinsville. We want the work of God to keep on, don't we? We want God to establish his work at Rollinsville and keep it going until Jesus returns. Thank you, Lord, that we're part of that legacy here at Rollinsville. That we're one of the generations here. And Lord, we want these generations to keep on at Rollinsville until you return. You are our God. You are our dwelling place. You are our refuge. We trust you, Lord, to guide us. Just be with John Racer as he's out back with Will right now. Bless him in a special way, Lord, as he works with him. Be with Will. He needs you, Lord. He needs a touch of your hand in his heart. Just be with John as he works with him. Thank you for those who have come to you through this church services here. As we think back over the past, the many people that have come to you through these times here, help us, Lord, to continue to be a light in our community. Be your hands and your feet to bring people in. So bless us, Lord, as we continue to carry the work on here at Rollinsville. And thank you for your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a song, Paul?
Turn with me in your church hymnal to number 604. Church hymnal, song number 604. Several songs in the church hymnal that are based on Psalm 90, but this one is based on verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, and God is not only our help in ages past, he's our hope for years to come.
you for that song. It lines right up with the message that we had this morning. Thank you for being here, for your prayers. Let's continue to pray for each other this week and go with us as we leave. You may rise for the benediction. Lord, as we come to you here, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. We thank you that you are our God. Bless us as we leave this place. Help us to carry the name of Jesus with us and walk with you this week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.